Hey, this is Dan Marino.
Hi, this is Larry Zonka.
Hi, I'm Zach Thomas of the Miami Dolphins.
This is Mark Super Duper.
I'm John Offerdahl.
This is Paul Warfield.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacani.
This is Jake Scott.
Gary Apremian.
Dick Anderson.
Larry Little.
Mercury Morris.
Tom Vigorito.
This is Don Strachan.
Don Nottingham.
Hey, this is A.J. Dewey.
Otto Stowe. Mike Colon.
Doug Krizan for the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins.
This is Marlon the Magician Briscoe.
This is Mark Ingram.
And Jim Crash Jensen.
This is Don Shula, and I listen to the Pat Cotillo Show.
It's the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Cotillo. Join us now as we talk Dolphins football or call in live with your questions or comments. And now, here's your host, Pat Cotillo.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. I'm your host, Pat Cotillo, and I will be joined alongside Rich Van Zant as Super Bowl 58 has now been determined. We watched two championship games this Sunday that did not include the Miami Dolphins, and when it was all settled and the dust was completely dispersed, the Kansas City Chiefs will be taking on the San Francisco 49ers. And that was what was behind curtain number three. All right, so Kansas City beats Baltimore 17-10. San Francisco comes back to beat Detroit 34-31. And you look at it, I guess, from the perspective that two huge plays determine this. Zay Flowers, of course, fumbling on the 1 yard line, maybe closer, changes that. And then, of course, Dan Campbell and his decision not to kick the field goal to go back up three scores. And the momentum of that game completely changes. And so I think everybody is just left basically perplexed. And, you know, Rich, my reaction is, you know, when the San Francisco 49ers are now taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, is just, so, you know, I don't know if many people don't realize that, yeah, I mean, many people don't realize that Rich is a thorough Swiftie. So other than you being excited with this, I don't know, Rich. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have so much we have to go over.
Yeah, it's aggravating. I didn't really like any of the teams left, but what I took from the second game was, I think if Detroit got there, it would have been such a lousy game. I think the Chiefs would have destroyed them. You know, I don't. They match up against them, and I think they would have been over their head in that game. So I think we just avoided probably the worst Super Bowl you've ever seen in your life. It wouldn't be the Swiftie Show. That's all you would say.
Oh, I've seen some pretty bad ones, pal. I don't even think it would be in the top 10 of some of the Super Bowls that I've seen. But
we've sat through some doozies. There's no question, you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously that's something that we will never know, so it doesn't even pay to debate it because we'll never really know the answer to that.
No.
I mean, you know, you want to start there. I guess we'll start there. It's the later game. But, you know, I will give Detroit credit for this, Richie. You know, it's tough to say that in the sense that, you know, they did take care of business and then go on the road to a tough place and come out like barn burrs. So they were up for that moment, that's for sure. And they went up 17-0. So, you know, they came out of the gate. They were ready to play.
They had them dead. If you looked at the mannerism of the Niners, they were a beaten team.
And you know when it changed. I don't often, play calls happen, this and that. But, you know, and I hate to keep trampling on it, but I said it was livid then. That is a horrible call. You absolutely have to kick that field goal. And it's not even, you know, people say, well, that's how it was aggressive. It's not even an aggressive play call. You came out 17-0 up. They came out and they scored a field goal. And now you come back, you match that field goal, is a home run. You're basically going back to the halftime score, and you basically ate up the entire third quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a home run. You know, you get a touchdown, it's a grand slam, but you don't need that. There's no reason for that.
And even if you get the first down, there's no guarantee you're getting in the end zone anyway. It's not like, you know, you're still a long way away from that, you know?
Great point. I mean, what are we going to be talking about? Him going for it again inside the 10? I mean, it's a great point.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee you're getting a touchdown on that drive. And, yeah, should ball have been caught? Yeah. It was a good enough pass. It should have been caught, but that's neither here nor there. They didn't execute it. I understand that. But I still am, you know, very against that. I think that really changed the entire game. I think that they win that game if they just kick the field goal there. And look at the momentum switch. If they kick that field goal.
You know, I understand the Dan Campbell thing. And you know me, I liked him when we had him, and I thought we should have gave him a shot to be the regular coach. You know how I felt at the time, you know. But how do you go in the locker room after that loss and say, you know, this could have been our best shot? Okay, then leave then. Then quit. Your best shot.
Yeah,
I mean, you feel that. You can't tell the team that. You know?
Yeah, I don't know whether he's in shock or what. Listen, I'm not a Lions fan, but I don't know if you could have a more devastating defeat than that. I mean, that is rough. 17. Listen, I guess the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl is worse, but, I mean, you're 17 up, you know, and then, you know, to have that turn like that, you know, you got to just ask yourself, who doesn't like Eminem, man? It's just it's really something else.
Well,
it really was.
You're talking to somebody right now.
Yeah, right? I mean, that is rough, right? Who did he piss off, right? I mean, that's a bad one. That's
well,
pretty
at least,
bad.
At least we're not... At least we don't have to see a picture of Eminem's spaghetti place that they put spaghetti and meatballs in a Chinese box. At least I don't have to see that anymore.
No, but you'll get the booby prize. You'll see Taylor Swift 150 times, which I know you enjoy. I don't think people at home realize you know, what
minute.
A Swiftie you
Every
really
minute.
Are. So,
oh
you'll get that. So,
the $99,000 question where Cramden when they go name that tune, you know, when it's like, you know,
Swanee River,
and they're going, who wrote that? I couldn't tell you one Taylor Swift song. I think you can play 10 of them and mix them in, and I wouldn't be able to point one out. I don't know one. So there you go. That's as bad as Swiftie as I get.
Yeah. Well, I guess all the albums you got at the house are just for show. Then we'll go with that.
Yeah, go find one. Bring Jock. Bring us Leroy Neiman. What do you do? Leonard Nimoy.
Right.
In search
right.
of.
You've given about 10
right.
references that maybe 2% right. of our listeners even picked up on. So I'm just going to.
Well, you were 1%.
You took the joke, and you brought it to areas that I don't even know if I'm going to be able to bring you back before the first break. Unbelievable. All right, so San Francisco, you know, holds on. Obviously, they come back, and you know they. You know, another team that you've seen there, what's the positives of that? You know, positives are that, I guess, is you got a team now that could join the New England Patriots in their 6 Super Bowls. So they could put that if you're really looking for something from a Dolphin perspective. You got, I guess, you know, a team now, Mr. Irrelevant, first time ever, will be starting a Super Bowl. So there's that storyline, and obviously a Marino fan. That's why he wears 13. That's his idol. So you got that. You know, it's the kind of thing, like, I guess as you watch these games, you know, and I said last week, there's always a melancholy feel because, you know, you're not in it. And then I say to myself, you know, where do the Dolphins fit in, you know, with this? And, you know, this year, I don't know. I was kind of torn with it. I kind of see a discrepancy. I almost see, you know, them as maybe not, you know, where they would need to be. But it's hard to gauge that because, you know, it, the way things ended and all that. And when we switch to the AFC part of this now, you know, you have the Kansas City Chiefs who have been doing everything on the road. They went through Buffalo, and, you know, I asked myself then, you know, where do the Dolphins fit in with this? You know, they basically say that the Kansas City Chiefs now have, you know, went through Buffalo in a tough game, and then went through Baltimore in a tough game. And the reason why I bring this up is because they just completely ignored the fact that they played the Dolphins. I mean, it was almost like that was their week off, you know?
Yeah. They had two byes.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show, you know, the respect once again around the league. They don't even mention the Dolphin game. Did you notice that? They didn't even mention it when they talk about this great run.
I heard it once yesterday. I heard it once. I didn't hear it once. They mentioned, you know, they did beat the Dolphins at home when it was frigid. They showed it for like an eighth of a second, you know?
Yeah. So,
Like, but, you know, we're never involved in this time of year, but we're always in the news, though, aren't we? Every freaking year, right? It's always a three-ring circus down there.
Never for good,
you know?
Yeah, never for good. Yeah, I mean, it certainly is never for good. And, you know, that's what happens when you just fizzle out or you're not involved with this. It's kind of crazy. You know, you look at that team and, you know, that – now you have a Kansas City Chiefs team that is now in four of the last five Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes has etched his, you know, place in destiny, and it's just a matter of where that will continue to go. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And Andy Reid now, you know, four of the last five Super Bowls, the one thing that's coming out of this is Andy Reid is definitely – tarnished Bill Belichick a little bit. I've already heard it during the year, and now you have, you know, the argument of where he fits in as far as the best coach of this generation or this time period, because, yes, Belichick has six Super Bowls. I understand that. There's a lot of scandals that came with that, and there's also a lot of the last few years and where he ends up with. And then, you know, he had the Brady factor, of which, you know, is going to be considered. So this guy has definitely closed the gap there. You know, I'm not saying one way or another where he passed it, but he definitely has brought a new, I guess, talking point, you know, when it comes to the Bill Belichick thing. And, you know, you have this team, Rich, that, you know, has been there so many times now. You know, they obviously know how to play this game, and, you know, they're going to bring that. You know, they're going to compete. Maybe that has a lot to what you said earlier with the Detroit Lions being there against a team like this, you know, where that would have been one-sided. You know, I don't know where you come on that, but, you know, the San Francisco 49ers obviously have played them before.
You know, it's the thing that bugs me is, like, you know, when you have a quarterback situation, like, you know, look, Purdy's okay. He's a good quarterback. But, you know, Mahomes is the best in the league. It's a big gap between the two. That's what bugs me about the game. You know what I mean? That's the biggest disparity I see, you know?
Bugs you in what
don't
sense?
You?
Like, it just bugs... Well, like, I understand what you're saying.
But Purdy could, like, you know, really be terrible in that game to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you've seen good quarterbacks be terrible, too.
Oh, I no question about it, but usually when you get a disparity as large as that, you know, Mr. Irrelevant, and the guy's had an unbelievable start to his career. I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback, but when you have a big gap in between two guys, it usually goes the other way, you know?
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. It usually does. I mean,
Trent Dilfer won, he beat Collins. I mean, it wasn't even beat like a great quarterback. You know what I mean?
Right.
When bad quarterbacks have won, they really didn't conquer the monster. You know what I mean?
Well, Rippon beat Kelly. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how much,
Rippon,
you know.
Rippon had a good year that year, too, though. You know what I mean? Rippon was playing lights out. I understand what you're saying, but was Kelly at that point then? You know,
I think so.
Not really. Kelly was one of was regarded as one of the best quarterbacks in the league at that point.
In 1991. Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, though. I'm not going against what you're saying, because I think I don't like the way Purdy has necessarily been playing, and I think that, you know, I could see him having a very rough Super Bowl. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to, but I can see that happening.
I keep him getting rattled. Look, I gave him a pass when it was raining 2 weeks ago, but the first half yesterday, he didn't play well, you know.
No, he didn't, and he did seem to get in gear for the second half of that game and made some big plays. So we don't know what's going to show up, right? We certainly don't know what's going to show up. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying there. I mean, Peyton Manning played against, you know, a Bears team with Rex Grossman. That should have been 42-0, what you're saying, and it wasn't. I mean, yes, Grossman really didn't do much, but it wasn't like this lopsided game, so there's that. I mean, there have been, you know, there have been, I guess, some mismatches that, you know, you could say, you know, went the other way. But there's been, you know, some LA eggs for sure, right? I mean, there's been some really good quarterbacks that for whatever reason have had tough days.
Kelly lost to Hostetler, you know?
It depends how you look at that, right? I mean, because Kelly didn't have an awful day. That just happened to be a very solid, balanced team. So, you know, I mean, you could just look at it from the quarterback matchup, maybe. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, what would have changed? I mean, Jared Goff had been there before. You know, you kind of feel for him. He's been playing unbelievable. Rich, how about this? This is what dawned on me when this was all going on. I said to myself, who would have thought back a few years ago when they made this Stafford trade and they shipped Jared Goff to Siberia, basically? I mean, this team was dreadful. And at the very least, everybody said, well, you know, unfortunately, he'll have to be the guy that's there for a couple years until they can rebuild and he'll be gone.
Not a quarterback. Yeah, right.
Who would have thought this guy was, you know, basically a step away from going to the Super Bowl with this Lions team? I mean, that's insane to me. It really is. And I do feel for him there.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him. I didn't feel sorry for any Bills fans 2 weeks ago, but I saw a couple of Lions fans that made the trip that were, like, emotionally distressed. And I kind of felt bad for them, you know?
Yeah. It's rough, man.
You know?
This was a rough one. It really was. And you know, and not to beat a dead horse, but up 17 at half. And forget whether you think you should go for that or not. Just think of this. Still could have been up 17 almost at the end of three.
And that's stupid.
Things really, really tough.
You know, what were they doing? Like, who went for it on their own 30? Oh yeah, the Ravens at the end, right? Didn't they go for 4th and 7 from their own 30? And they would have basically handed the game over at that point.
Yeah, it's a little different though at that point, I guess, because
But I'm looking. I'm like, are you insane? You have all this time left. You didn't need to do that.
There wasn't that much time at that point.
Well,
that wasn't. Well, all right. Hold that thought. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Ravens game right after this.
When the autumn mist is drawing near, and you hear the whistle sound and the crowd cheer, you'll know it's that special time once again for head-to-head combat. And 1st and 10. So follow those that are in the know and listen to Pat and Rich and the Legends Show. All episodes of the Pat Catello Show available now on iTunes.
This is Paul Warfield, and you are listening to the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Cotello.
Miami Dolphins Legends Show. You got Pat and Rich coming at you. And just a reminder, you can go right to iTunes and subscribe to our show and get it delivered right onto your phone. And you can catch any back episodes that you need to there as well. Send us any questions or comments, patcotelloshow@yahoo.com. So right before the break, Rich, you had about brought up the Ravens going for that. And, yeah, fourth down, it was eight minutes and 47 seconds left in the game when they did that. And that's obviously a very different situation. They were down a couple scores there. So, yeah, you could punt there. It's going to definitely – put you in a situation, you know, and I guess, you know, they went for that, basically putting the game on the line and were able to get it. So I can see some argument there, but it is different, you know, than what we were talking about, certainly.
The Lions game. It's another, like, one of those analytic crazy things, you know what I mean? I saw one of them yesterday, Pat. They said on the Detroit one, they said the analytics of going for it was 90.6%, but not going for it was 90.3%. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. That's ridiculous. These analytics are ridiculous, like Kittle said.
Yeah.
I mean, where's momentum fit into this, you know? You know, it's kind of crazy. So you're saying the analytics said to go for this Ravens one or not to go for it,
yeah,
or what?
The Ravens one, they didn't ever even mention that. I don't know. I think that's just idiotic. I mean, because if you miss it, it's the game's over. You're conceding the game at almost 10 minutes on the clock. You know, I mean,
but
I don't know.
Two things.
Yeah, they didn't get a touchdown there anyway, right? They didn't score there, I don't think.
Well, I think that might have been the Flowers drive.
Was that the Flowers?
Was it or no?
Yeah.
No, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't.
I don't know.
Maybe the Flowers one was before that, actually. I think it was before that. Yeah, it was before that because the Flowers one, you know, I mean, that's where the game changes. Two things on this I got to say. First off, let's not forget Zay Flowers with the huge pass play, and then you get the taunting call, which basically takes that out of the mix. If you get the touchdown, if you get the touchdown, it's irrelevant. You scored a touchdown. You want to taunt.
Right.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect anything.
No.
You're kicking off.
This is kickoff. Big deal.
But
yeah,
the fact that you don't score there changes everything.
Yeah. Oh.
And that's a perfect example. Yeah. That was ridiculous.
And then he punches the bench and busts his hand open and is useless.
Right, and that comes after the next play where he's going in for the touchdown, which you got to believe he goes in there. I think the Ravens are winning that game. And then he coughs it up, changes everything, and then, like you said, has the tantrum on the bench and cuts his finger open. And I'll tell you, just a crazy course of events in these two games. But that one, especially there. And when I analyze this game, I mean, let's face it, the Ravens' defense in the second half was shut down. They shut them down. You couldn't have asked for more opportunities for the Baltimore Ravens in the second half. I mean, they had every opportunity that you could imagine, 100%. Including up to the end of that game. They just kept getting more and more opportunities after shooting themselves in the foot. Could not do anything. Lamar Jackson certainly did not have a stellar game. You know, he was off. Oh. He did not have a great game. But more so than that, I thought that Jim Harbaugh did not do a great job of John Harbaugh did not do a great job of coaching that game, especially in the second half.
Well, look at all the undisciplined, you know penalties they had. You know, it was Van Noy. It was Clowney. You know, it was Flowers.
Yeah.
I mean, how many penalties they have for unsportsmanlike conduct? I mean, that's disgraceful in a championship game.
It is, but I thought his game plan was. I don't think he made any adjustments in the second half either.
No.
I mean, it just seemed like he had no answer. Like he didn't adjust at all.
Got to give a nod to Spagnuolo for like screwing them up. You know?
More than a nod, and I know you're not a fan of his, and I'm like on the fence. Fantastic job. Steve Spagnuolo, you have to really hand it to him.
Yep.
What a great job he did. Absolutely right. And, you know, when you look at the way that transpired, you have a Ravens team that's got the best running game in football, and they really didn't even utilize it at all. Both sides, like, you know, they both halves. I mean, they have the best running game. They're the most physical team in the NFL, and they
really
utilize that.
The running game is really from the quarterback, right? They don't really have a great running game besides him, do they?
No, they have the best running game in football. No, forget Lamar Jackson. They have the best running game in football, and they didn't even utilize it. Statistically, they had the best running game in football, and they did not utilize it at all. And you know, you got to question that a little bit. Like I don't know. I think that they try too much to like stay in a different zone instead of just Lamar Jackson. To me, doesn't look like he's thinking too much. They don't let him just play. I think they'd be better off just letting him do his thing and stop trying to turn him into something and just let him do his thing. I think it would have created a lot more opportunities. You could see that they're kind of restricting that. And I thought that, you know, the big plays that we talked about, were just too much to overcome, things like that. And, you know, the second half of that game, opportunities you could not ask for anymore. It's not like the Chiefs came out there and really did anything. I mean, offensively, you know, they didn't score.
Yeah.
I don't think they scored a point. So,
unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it – and you know how I talked earlier, Rich, about, like, the Dolphins and – yeah, this year you just kind of put them in both games there, and I don't know. Like, you see the Dolphins competing like you know, the Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills did, I don't know. These teams just seem to have a different intensity in these big games that I haven't seen, like, with the Dolphins. I mean, obviously we know they didn't.
And then you read into, like, you know, what was going on behind the scenes with the coaching staff, you know what I mean? Like, how Fangio alienated everybody and all this other crap. Is there any year that we don't have something like this going on? It's unbelievable. Different regimes are the same crap, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so, the big story, which we're going to get into now, is the Miami Dolphins, since we went on the air last week, we have an opening at defensive coordinator, as Vic Fangio and the Miami Dolphins have come to a mutual agreement, and Vic Fangio is gone. Me and Rich have a little bit of insight into that, and basically, this kind of came out of nowhere, but I think it stems back to what we talked about last year when Fangio was hired. And if you remember, there was he was hired, but then he wasn't, and then all of a sudden it's not official, and it's a verbal agreement, and we thought that we had him, didn't have him, and then ultimately we wound up getting him after a week or so, 2 weeks. And I think that, you know, what I've put together is that I think they had a verbal agreement, but I think he wanted to go to Philadelphia. And then there was that tampering investigation with their defensive coordinator who wound up taking the job at Arizona. And so I think that held it up. And then he wound up just taking the Dolphin job, but I don't think he really wanted it necessarily. And now he wants to be close to his family in Philadelphia. And, you know, my first thought, and I said to you, Rich, is, you know, you're the highest paid coordinator in the history of the league. I mean, you know, and you know, how bad could it be for 8 months, right?
Yeah. I don't like my family that much, you know?
You're going to return any of that check, Nick? Any of that check? Are you out the door?
They want to come see me. I can send them a plane ticket, you know?
Yeah, right?
Not that big of a deal.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a little, you know, a little bizarre there. Like you weren't in prison there. I mean, you basically got paid more than anybody's ever been paid, and you know, and I thought the defense better at times, but really when I settled it all down, kind of the same. You know, I always stopping short in big games. And
didn't you read that it takes 2 years to learn a Vic Fangio defense? So this was the year that we're not going to see.
No. Yeah, I mean, that may or may not be true. I know you have a lot of insight on the players and stuff like that, so let me turn the mic over to you. You can let everybody know what's been going on as far as the players speaking out on them and all that.
Well, they had a balloon release, it seems, when they got rid of them. The players didn't like them. The assistant coaches didn't like them. The assistant coach is like, he wouldn't let anybody speak. Did you hear this one?
No, go ahead.
They wanted one voice in the room, and they wouldn't let any of the assistant coaches speak or, like, you know, add to, like, the game plan or whatever. I mean, this guy, it must have been a treat working for this guy, you know?
It's kind of crazy.
I didn't
really
pass the lunch menu with this guy. I'll tell you that right now. You know?
And then you got Javon Holland. Javon Holland, and you had Jalen Ramsey, I know, and coming out against him, and then Cam Smith, your boy, saying that he's finally free. He's out of prison now. So
an emoji of an unlock padlock.
You know what surprised me the most, though, is the fan sentiment and how everybody is so glad that he's gone. Like, I didn't expect that. You know, I didn't expect the players either, but I certainly didn't expect how many people are so glad he's gone. I didn't really expect that.
You know who's really happy? Our special teams coach took the heat off of him.
Yeah, took the heat off of him. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. I think you
survived it.
Yeah, I think you survived now, right? He got it. Yeah, I think you're right. Something like that will probably help him keep his job. You know, the big name, too, that, you know, that's floating around is Brandon Staley, your boy from the Chargers. He's the hottest defensive coordinator commodity that's out there right now. He's Dolphin interview, Packers interview, and so he's doing the whole rounds of there's one more team too. It was the Packers, the Dolphins, and another Rams and the Rams. And so you know what this basically shows to me is that you know it's that Shanahan staff. There must be a connection there to this guy because all the Shanahan guys, right, are going after him.
Yeah,
so there must be
no pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, so there's that. And then Anthony Campagnello, you said, also, I guess, is somebody in the running. Which direction you want to see this defense go? I mean, there's going to be changes on that defense. We know that. There's veterans that are going to be gone. There's injuries that are, you know, coming back. And now you got Bradley Chubb, who was taken just because of Fangio. You gave this guy this gigantic contract. because of Fangio, basically. Is he going to Philadelphia? Can he be part of the mutual part? Can you part mutual ways with him, too?
Not with that contract.
No,
no.
No.
I know. And I heard they're bringing in Leslie Frazier, too, for an interview.
Yeah, I mean, Leslie Frazier, I would imagine, is going to have his pick, you know, so he's going to be another guy that's going to have, you know, he's going to be a tough get, I would think. Do you want a name like that? I guess is my question. Would you rather get another name like that, Staley, a Frazier, or somebody, you know, a high echelon coordinator like that?
Staley won the Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator, but was Staley really the reason that defense was that great? It was really Staley.
Who was he with?
The Rams. He won the Super Bowl with them.
He was their defense coordinator when they won? I thought it was Phillips.
I thought it was Wade Phillips. He was on that staff then, right?
Maybe, but he wasn't the defense coordinator. No way.
Was he really on that staff then? Yeah, I think he was on that staff. I'm almost positive.
Right.
I think you're right, but I thought it was Wade
Phillips that was their defense coordinator, but maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe he was the one they lost.
It could be. Let me see. Let me look this
up. So if you got him, would that be like the guy that you would want to go after?
I gotta be honest with you, I didn't even realize he was a defensive coordinator before he had that job. You know what I mean? He was with the Broncos at 19, so he was basically, right, he had to be with McDaniel there. He was only with the Rams for one year.
McDaniel was only a ball boy there.
In 2019?
He wasn't there in 19, McDaniel.
No? Okay. So in 2020, what did the Rams do?
In 2020?
Yeah.
That's the year after the Super Bowl that they lost.
He was only a defensive coordinator for 1 year when he got the job.
What year was that?
He was an outside linebackers coach in 2020. He was outside linebacker coach with the Broncos in 2019. Then you got me there because neither one of those teams succeeded.
Yeah. Neither one of those teams succeeded in any way. I think in 2019, like you said, the Rams were actually in the Super Bowl and lost. And then in 2020, certainly not. The Rams weren't there. And then when the Rams obviously wound up winning 22. So I don't know. I mean, you got me there.
Yeah,
he
replaced Wade Phillips in 2020.
Yeah.
In his only year as a coordinator, Staley helped guide the Rams defense to first in points and total yards allowed, positioning himself as a head coaching candidate, and he got the Chargers job. Well, that's weird, right?
Yeah, that is weird.
You were
outside
linebacker coach to head coach in 2 years.
Yeah. So what do I win? I didn't phrase it in the form of a question, but did I get anything?
Guess what? You want to know if I want him or not. The answer is no.
Let me rephrase my question. Not necessarily him, because I know you don't really like him anyway, and now you certainly don't like him. Do you want another name, coach, is what I mean, or do you want somebody promoted internally?
How do you judge one of the guys internally? You know what I mean? If you're not there every day and see what this guy's about, you're going to have Anthony Campanelli because he made a few nice quotes on Hard Knocks? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do know what you mean.
He's
going to be a good coordinator. I do know what you mean.
I
don't know what his defensive philosophy is. I don't know if it's going to work or not, you know? I mean, it gun to my head, I'd want Leslie Frazier over him because you see Leslie Frazier's defenses are very good, you know?
Yeah, me too. And I also think that there's a learning curve. I think there's a learning curve.
100%.
And I don't think we can afford a learning curve right now. I don't know, Rich.
If you look at this team right now,
this isn't Bill Belichick coming out of the ranks, I really would be concerned about that, of having a learning curve for a first-year defensive coordinator on a team that's basically at the precipice. It's kind of make or break. You're getting close to it. And this is a team that's super talented. It's the most talented it's been in decades. And I don't really want to risk that right now. I mean, I really would want somebody that's going to be bona fide to come on in and, you know, do it. And, yeah, I'd sign up for Leslie Frazier right now. But like I said, I think he's a tough get, and I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities and offers. And I also heard his name, you know, for another head coaching job. So, yeah, if I could get him, I would definitely want him. I just don't know if that's somebody, you know, we'll see what happens. All right, let's take another quick break. Come on back and talk about the other openings coming around.
Throwing sideline, and he has the record. Urban Meyer on the catch. Dan Marino has now thrown for more yards than anyone else in the history of the National Football League.
Hey, this is Dan Marino. You're listening to the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catello.
Miami Dolphins Legend Show. You got Pat and Rich here. We'll take you to the final stretch. Fortunately, we got no games to take you up to. However, we still have a lot to talk about. And, Rich, I just got some good news for you. Apparently, they're auctioning off the fumble ball, the Tyreek Hill fumble ball from Germany. If you want to get your bid in there quick, get in there. Get yourself in there. Get your nose in there, Dick. Get your nose in there. All right. Here's my question for you. And I've been thinking about this. This is the most bizarre happening outside of the lines in the last week is the fact that the most winningest coach in Super Bowl history has basically now lost the job to the Atlanta Falcons that he supposedly interviewed twice, and he lost the job to Raheem Morris. So it looks as though Bill Belichick is going to probably be without a job this year. The only two teams left do not seem to be heading in that direction. Mike Vrabel's out there as well. I had said I thought Washington, if you remember, during the year we talked about this, and I said that was the spot I thought. However, it doesn't look like that's going to work its way there. What's your thoughts on this whole thing, and what do you think transpired there, and why they would choose to go with Raheem Morris, which is a surprise in itself?
This is what I heard, that Belichick, he was demanding too much for himself, meaning money and power, and he wasn't willing to give 5 years.
Okay, like, I didn't hear anything like that.
Yeah, that's
I didn't hear at all. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories coming out of there.
Yeah.
Money in 5 years, I didn't hear at all. I heard it was a complete
Well, wasn't
complete
just money, it was power, too. He wanted complete control,
yeah.
but he wasn't willing
yeah.
to give up. He wasn't willing to give enough time for them to okay it. That's why they went to a different direction.
Yeah, that I didn't hear. I heard there was a gigantic fight for power of superiority with McKay and him, and he did not want to answer to a GM, and Arthur Blank had his whole basically hierarchy in place already and didn't feel that Bill Belichick earned the right to take over that completely and trump everybody in there, you know, with what he's done in the last 3 years in New England without Tom Brady. That's what I kind of heard. And I could see Bill Belichick not wanting to waver in any way from that, especially as we've seen he had complete control in New England, even though he tries to shy out of the fact that he didn't want Mac Jones, when we all know that Nick Saban personally called him, and if Nick Saban didn't want Mac Jones, he wouldn't have been there, and Mac Jones wouldn't have been there, so I don't buy any of that. But I heard that he does not want to answer to a GM and that he only answers to an owner, and he wanted complete control there, and they were not going to do that, and which I can understand, but it's very strange that they jumped at Raheem Morris that quick, which in itself is a surprise. I mean, he I think he was there, or he was an interim, and did not fare well when he was an interim, which, you know, was a very surprise hire for me, if you will, when it came to that. So I don't know.
I think
the Raheem Morris thing, I think it relates to what we talked about earlier. He's part of that Shanahan staff, and I think that all these Shanahan guys are the hot commodity, the talk of the league. We have one of them. And, I mean, they're all successful. They're all doing well, from McVay, you know, to McDaniel. LaFleur, you know, and I guess he was one of the guys that was there. And so, I think that really helped him a lot. But, and of course, Shanahan. But I don't think that the Belichick thing, when you look around now, I mean, listen, we may get our wish here. I don't know, 1 year out. I think there's some good opportunities that are going to surface next year. I think there were some good opportunities this year that didn't come to fruition. Cowboys, Eagles. So, you know, the best spot was the Chargers. Harbaugh got that. Does this close the door for a guy who's 70-plus years old and now sitting out another year? Or does he have the opportunity next year to jump in with one of these big teams and take a stab at it? Do you see that happening next year?
I don't really see him sitting out a year and then coming back at 25. I don't see it. And I know that's been floated out there. He's waiting for the right move. I don't know. I think, you know, at his age, you sit out a year, you're kind of done. Wouldn't you think?
With the exception. Well, twofold. First off, let me reiterate again.
Big comes back. Yeah.
Well, let me reiterate again. I don't think there was many takers for Bill Belichick. I don't think we could stress that enough. I heard there was one other team that flirted with him. I don't know who it was. But there was one other team that put feelers out, but I don't know who it was. And then, of course, there was the Atlanta Falcons, who on the surface you would think, like, really? We talked last week and we said, Really? A second interview? Like, really?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, like, you jumped at that.
And you were right. Like, you had the Washington rumors a few weeks ago, and it didn't even seem like they gave it a shot. Right?
No, the Washington, well, even more than a few weeks ago, I said probably like around week 10, and I thought that Washington was a landing spot for him. But it doesn't appear that that's the direction they're going in. They got the new owner. It
right.
does not appear that that's the direction that they are going in. So, you know, I don't know. If you take him out of the mix this year, then I think it only comes down to a few rare opportunities. I don't think he takes over a team to start from scratch. It's basically, do you then take, you know, a cowboy job, which if you're looking for power, you're not getting it there. You're not, you know, you may not have a GM to contend with, but you got Jerry Jones to contend with, and that's going to be even harder for you because that's, you know, that's where the buck stops. He, you know, he's the guy in control there. And then if you look at Philadelphia, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think that's a given. Of course, there's going to be more teams that open up next year, you know, but you have other good coaches too. Vrabel's going to be back in this league. You know that. He'll be back next year. Where, I don't know, but he'll be back.
Yeah, he's young enough, though. That's like, so a guy like that could sit out a year. I could see that. But at 71, I don't think he'd sit out a year, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Because,
that's,
you know,
what I'm saying.
Your assistants, all his entourage is going to be somewhere, too, you know?
Well, not all his entourage.
Not Matt Patricia. I got you there.
Well, that is his entourage. I mean, what's his entourage? It's Patricia, like you said, and McDaniel, and yeah, which, I mean, you know, the two kids. I think that was an issue. But you know how you can judge this thing, I think? You can judge it a little bit by whether or not those two kids take the job offered to them by Mayo.
Well, they didn't say no.
No, they didn't say no. Which also leads them to believe, I don't think they know what's going on. And
so
I don't think the waters.
Every job I ever turned down?
What's that?
Is I going to tell you about every job I turned down?
Yeah. So to style. Yeah. There's people somewhere in Alabama right now going, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, I don't think we have anybody in Alabama listening to us. I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm surprised. All right. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I think that you have to, like, factor that in to a degree. I don't think the waters were really receptive to him, which is shocking.
Yeah.
It's a little bit shocking.
There'd be 10 teams, like, you know, knocking his door down. I really did.
Well,
you know?
Here's what I want to go off on, because I know you do this all the time, but listen to me, okay? For once and for all, can you read between the lines here with the Kraft press conference, how we didn't think it was fair that for all Belichick has done to hold him up hostage when he's deserved the right to be a free agent and do what he wants to do? No, you felt it out and you had no feelers. Nobody was offering you anything in a trade.
Yeah,
nobody.
Right. That's true.
So let's stop the nonsense, okay? Because I hear this all the time up there with this guy. Yeah. Every time I have to hear this. You know, we're going to do what's right, and if you have an Aaron Hernandez jersey, bring it down, and we're going to trade it in. Oh, yeah? Well, what about all the stories you heard before you drafted them? Because you're just going to now, you're going to offer a new jersey? I mean, the PR up there that people fall for, and the scandals and everything that have been coming out of that organization, it's been going on for years.
Oh,
and this is just another example of that. It really is. I mean, obviously, you see that there was no takers for him. You know? So certainly nobody's putting up draft picks.
Yeah.
So don't come to the stand and act like you're doing, like you don't know that. Like you didn't put feelers out for it, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
All right. All right. You bought that line, not me. So that's what I got to say about that. Yeah, I mean, you know, we obviously have a record that, you know, is right on the cusp there that we are concerned about. But also from, you know, the standpoint of the changing of, you know, of these teams, there's definitely a new direction that teams are going towards. And, you know, it's surprising in a lot of ways when you look around and you see it's a copycat league for sure. And I also heard that analytics were a big part of this, that that they're so high on analytics throughout this league, and he's basically the one coach that doesn't subscribe to the new analytics at all. He doesn't want to hear about them, and he's really not, you know, in tune with it. So,
well, I can't argue with that. You know, I don't think they work in baseball. I can't believe they have hired people in hockey to do it. I don't even understand how you possibly use it in hockey.
Yeah.
And football is just ridiculous, too, you know?
So that could be somewhat of a factor, but I really
yeah.
don't believe that's a main factor in why he didn't go to Atlanta. I don't.
No.
That's not,
you know, I don't get it.
All right, well, let me leave you with this. Miami Dolphins are going to watch the Super Bowl at home again. Last 10 AFC champions to go, okay? Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, with the exception of one guy, Joe Burrow. That
okay.
made up the entire decade. Goes
right.
Peyton, Brady, 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 Mahomes, Burrows, Mahomes. So that speaks volumes in itself right there. And, you know, whether or not, you know, who was the guy, you know, that's just goes to show you how quarterback dominated the AFC has been when it comes to representing a team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You really don't get any more than that.
No.
3.5 Hall of Famers. Really 4,
yeah.
but let's say 3.5, right? Because Burrow's, you
yeah,
know, I think is going to wind
can.
Up there.
You know, well, he could, but he's been hurt a lot. You know, you don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but either way, Rich, it's 1 year. Either
yeah.
way, that's 1 year.
True.
He only
yeah.
went one time. Three guys made up the
yeah,
entire
I know,
decade.
I know. Oh, no, I understand.
So you could take,
I know
you take Burrows out
yeah.
of the mix. I mean, he's not really even a part
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, sure.
So that's crazy, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, all right, so, you know, that's what we got. It was a strange championship games weekend, as always, and you know, we'll see what transpires this coming week. Obviously, McCafferty seemed like he took a nice shot on that neck, but that week off, and everybody should be pretty healthy going into this, and we'll have time to talk about it. And that's basically what I got. I don't know if you got anything else
that's
to
it.
Add to that.
No, that's all. I guess we'll predict next week, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
That's it.
And
yeah.
and I guess those now those two coaching spots, you know, there's a good chance they get filled, or are people waiting, you think, for after the Super Bowl for any of these guys?
Who's Washington and who else? Who else is open? The
Panthers
still?
Yeah. Is it Titans? Titans hired their guy, right? So Panthers,
yep.
is it Carolina? I'm not even sure. There's one other team that has a vacancy, I believe. So, do they wait for these guys from Super Bowl staffs? Is that part of this?
I don't know. I don't know who they were talking to. Who's up for the Washington job? Have they even said anything?
Yeah, somebody inside is the front runner. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I had heard a name, and it's not like a and huge which, name.
Is Bieniemy still on the staff?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's technically fired, but I haven't heard his name. It doesn't seem
yeah,
like he's getting that job. No way.
I didn't hear him even being interviewed for it, which
yeah.
is quite odd, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hadn't heard it either. So, you know, I guess it's just a matter of wrapping things up, because I think that they're pretty close to guys for both of those positions, but it's possible that they're waiting on one other guy. All right, well, we'll know more next week. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Took a look down a westbound road, right away I made my choice. Headed out to my big two-wheeler, I was tired of my own boy. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on.
Open enrollment is happening right now, New Jersey. Join the many residents who are getting quality, affordable health coverage through Get Covered New Jersey. If you need health insurance, this is the time to enroll. Get Covered New Jersey offers increased plan choices and more savings than ever. 9 in 10 people get financial help for plans that include preventive care, prescriptions, emergency services, and more. And many pay $10 a month or less. Find your plan at getcovered.nj.gov.
Antes de salir a disfrutar de una noche de fiesta, planifique un viaje seguro de regreso. No conduzca bajo la influencia del alcohol o drogas. Todos contamos contigo. Un mensaje de la Policía Estatal de Nueva Jersey.